Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz and very special guest today. Good friend of mine, one of the contributors of the Bubba Report. All about good guy calling in from Japan today. And it's our good friend Damon Viriel. What's up, Damon?
Not much. Indeed, I am in Japan. It's, I believe, 11 p.m. here. The market opens in 30 minutes for me, so I'm a night trader. I do my trading early market your guys' time, and then I wake up early at my time to trade at the market close.
So, Damon, so,
in many instances, I'm day trading, but most of the time, I'm swing trading options.
Which is a great thing to do, and the ability to swing trade. But before we get into exactly what you do, we saw some interesting things happening in the markets on Monday. Of course, we saw once again China shut down. Which just goes to show you more of the Ponzi scheme that I continue to call from all these central banks because of all the intervention. What did you think about that action, and what is your look going forward? Because I know that you have certain systems that you use. So what did you think about what was going on overnight on Monday?
Well, they did the same thing back in August when we saw that, what I would call a market correction. And I think they're doing the same thing. They're just trying to cease a panic in China. They're trying to keep investors from selling off all their assets. So I really think what we're seeing is something rather symmetrical to what we saw back in August. And it's probably going to be more of a correction than a market crash. So there's not really much of a huge concern. This is more of a buying opportunity than a selling opportunity. What do you think, Bubba?
Well, I think that I want to be a seller of rallies. One of the things we know about these types of markets is that when asset bubbles finally pop, it's never pretty. It's always ugly. And I believe that this asset bubble that we're in right now, this Ponzi scheme that's been run by all of the central banks around the world, not just the Federal Reserve, is about to drop. But one of the things that investors and traders have to remember is that markets don't go straight up and markets don't go straight down. So what's going to happen here is you're going to have sometime this week a monster rally off of this action. And my opinion is I'll be looking to sell that rally, not to buy that rally, because I think that now we are in a position where you want to sell every rally versus looking to buy the dips anymore. What's your thoughts?
Well, it looks like the money flow is going out at the moment. So a sell would be safe. I mean, shorts would also be safe. And again, at this time, this would be one of those few rare times where buying the VIX would make sense. Usually the VXX, this ETF, will fall. I mean, if you look at you look back 10 years and it's fallen, you probably know better than I, like, 1,000%, but once in a while it spikes, and this is going to be one of those times because there's so much happening this week. There's China shutting down trading. There's the issues between Saudi Arabia and Iran. There's questions about oil prices. There's a quick spike in gold. A lot of things are happening in the market, and I mean, this is the first trading week of the new year, so it's a good time to get some speculative trades out there and possibly look into buying volatility via options or just outright buying an ETF like the VXX.
I'm a big anti-VXX guy. I think I also believe that to be crooked. I believe that to end up, I believe that those triple leveraged ETFs, the designers and the auditor of those, a lot of those will end up in big trouble down the road. I think that their fee structure is too ridiculous. I mean, if you're a very active day trader, you can certainly use that, but certainly like buying that, in my opinion, here is probably not the best. There's better ways to do it. And if you want to be involved in that space, you should be using the option model where you're actually creating a synthetic position to get long that, but without exposing yourself to the risk. Because as you just said, at one time, if you take all the split adjusted information in involved in that, that stock would at one time was trading $11,000. Okay. And now it's trading $2,170. So
exactly,
you know, you have to understand that there's a problem there. And the biggest problem, and I think the best comparison I can give anybody out there, there's two ETFs that are mirror images of each other, and that would be the FAZ and the FAS. The FAS is triple the bullish on the banks, and the FAZ is triple the bearish. Now, you would think that, you know, after we've had only a 250% rally from the bottom and everything has gone crazy to the upside, that the FAS would be up a lot and the FAZ would be down a lot. Well, what we're finding out, if you go back and look, and again, go back to split adjusted, because whenever these ETFs get, you know, down around 10 bucks, they reverse split them 5-for-1. The FAZ has a value of about $25,000 a share, and the FAS has a value of about $200 a share. And today you would think that, well, the FAS should be about $25,000. We've recovered. Well, the FAS is about $40,000, $35,000, and the FAZ is about $12,000. So they've got a combined value of $42 based on it. So really, there's a problem there in the way that those are manipulated and used. Any thoughts from you?
Well, yeah, they're supposed to be mimicking an index. So I'm not exactly clear on what the FAS and the FAZ are, though I've heard of pair trades on those two ETFs where you short one and long the other and you just take the difference between them because they're not appropriately managed. You can do the same thing with the VXX, and I believe the other one is the XIV, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, XLF, but there's a million of them. I mean, they're really all the same. When you go into what we call a leveraged product, you are looking for problems because the leveraged products do not trade the true natural footprint that you see that the markets leave, because the leverage products work off of a multiplier, and they reset that multiplier every day. And between all the fees and things that they do in those markets, they're actually, in my opinion, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, I'm not putting words in any mouth, in my opinion, they are cheating the public. And at some day, this will come out that these guys took so much in fees and made so much money that they really stuck it to the investor. And that's why I tell everybody that you're better off using the single ETFs and just trading them a little bit bigger, because the leverage products are not designed properly for the average investor. What do you think?
Oh, I get what you're saying. I mean, I've been tracking ETFs for a while because I run an ETF newsletter. And since July 2010 to today, the money flow into ETFs has tripled. So people are becoming a lot more interested in ETFs because they think it's just an easier way to invest in a certain market or a certain segment of a market or something like volatility. But these ETFs, especially the leveraged ones like you're talking about, they aren't designed well enough to actually track what they're supposed to be tracking. So if you go back and you look at, you know, $VIX, versus the ETF VXX, you'll see that VXX is always declining, and it's almost always a safe short or a safe put option. But you know, you can't always be short on that. Sometimes there's going to be a spike, and if you're going to be hedged overall, you're going to want to sometimes at least have a call option on VXX. And
hold that thought. Hold that thought, Damon. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. We are with Damon Viriel, a writer for the Bubba Show, the Bubba Report. Also does a lot of his own stuff, which we're going to talk about today. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. We'll be right back after the break with more from Damon.
Right, turn off the lights. We're going to lose our minds tonight.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. It's Todd Bubba Horowitz with my friend, a contributor to the Bubba Report, very knowledgeable in the markets, a man that lives over the other side of the world in Japan, but felt compelled that we needed to talk and wanted to get his opinions out. And of course, I respect his opinions, Damon Verriel. So, Damon, you were talking about sometimes you got to buy a call option there. And again, I don't disagree. I just believe that there's better ways than just buying a straight call on that particular product, because you pointed out very nicely that basically it almost always goes down no matter what happens. It does not track the VIX, which is what it's supposed to do. So go ahead and continue with your answer, sir.
Well, full disclosure, I have never made money buying call options on the VXX, though I have made money buying selling bullish credit spreads on the VXX due to time decay. All of my money based on the VXX through trades have been through put options. What I do is I generally buy the spike, and I know VXX will fall. And just like in August when we saw what appeared to be to many people a market crash, which was actually just a quick correction, that was a really good time to buy a put option on the VIX. Now, I wouldn't really want to ever buy the VIX outright or short the VIX outright, because it can be very volatile itself, which is ironic because it tracks volatility. But I just think it's an important thing for investors to realize the increasing importance of ETFs and ETNs in the coming years, because since, I guess in the past 10 years, what I've tracked was the past 5 years, but I'm assuming this goes back even further. People have been moving their money out of mutual funds and into ETFs instead, mainly because there's less management fees, and it's just, I mean, they're just better overall in terms of performance.
Well, you know, I agree. I love ETFs. I mean, I love the spiders. They track direct against the S&P. I love the diamonds, the IWM, all those stuff that are directly correlated, that are going to be right on top of the index that they're tracking, I think are great. Okay. Those are wonderful ETFs because they don't have those ridiculous fees, and they will track the market dollar for dollar. So those are wonderful to own, and that is where a lot of flow of money is going into, because they do pay a dividend. They are a way to trade. And basically, before ETFs became in vogue, you know, and, you know, let's say we go back 10 years, you know, a lot of the money managers were creating, and they still do, they create a basket of stocks, and they use the futures as a hedge. Okay, which obviously was the advent of triple witching expiration before ETFs, and they would create basically their own ETF. So now a money manager or an individual, instead of trying to buy a bunch of stocks in the S&P, can just buy the SPY and have representation of the entire S&P, or buy the IWM and have an entire representation of the Russell, versus having to create that own basket, which is what they did in the past, and again, still do, because there are good reasons to do that. But those are things that we look at, and, you know, those are things that, you know, I guess you also teach, Damon. I mean, you have a number of different programs that you use that I think are extremely solid, especially for the beginning investor and some investors that want to really learn how to understand the markets, right?
Well, I'm more of a versatile guy. So like you said, when you have an ETF that allows you to mimic a market and you have a speculative outlook on a market, let's say you want to trade the Russell, the RUSL or the RUSS, that ETF can benefit you because you don't have to look into every stock that's trading on the Russian stock exchange. You just need to know that Russia has some problems and it's time to buy a call on the RUSS or buy a short on the RUSL. Currently, I know that Russia has problems, so I'm actually long. I actually have a call option on RUSS. So, I mean, that's benefited me because I don't have to dig into certain stocks and say, you know, this is going to fall, this is going to rise. That ETF is something you could play a call option on. And because ETFs have become more popular, the open interest on those ETFs have been high enough to where the spread is tight enough to where you're not getting ripped off when you actually buy a call option or a put option on those ETFs.
Right, and that is the importance of liquidity, which here on the Bubba Show we talk all about all the time. And I think you should explain why liquidity is so important, because you do like to teach these things and you want to make sure that the individuals that look at some of your products understand that. So tell us why liquidity is so important.
Well, for my trading style, I like to get in and out of trades a lot more quickly than so-called investors. And to do that, you need liquidity. You need people who are willing to sell. You need people who are willing to buy. And if you're trading options like me, then you need it even more so, because most people trade stocks. Most people are afraid of options. They don't understand options. They'd rather just buy the ETF or the stock or short the stock. So if you're getting into options, you've got to realize that the volume, the daily volume and the market cap of the actual stock also equates to how easily it's going to be for you to buy or sell the option and how close the spread is going to be. So generally when you buy an option, you're not going to buy it at the market price. You're going to buy it at a limit price, and you're going to calculate that limit price by finding the average between the bid and the ask. Now, if that average, the average is always going to be an average, right? But, I mean, if the spread between the bid and the ask, let's say it's $100 between the bid and the ask, that's pretty wide for most options. But if you're playing something like Apple, the bid and the ask could be a difference between, like, $2. And in that case, you don't really need to care about when you buy it, or you don't even need to care about open interest. You can buy any strike price. You can buy pretty much any expiration date. But for things like RUSS, RUSS, which is the three times leveraged bear version of the Russian stock exchange, which I recently bought, you really have to pay attention to open interest, because there are very few people trading that ETF, which equates to very few people buying that option. So the unfortunate thing about being an options trader is that you usually have to play more popular stocks. So if you have some sort of like inside information, or if you've got a good outlook on a certain stock and you know it's going to go up or you know it's going to go down, but it's not a popular one, then options usually are going to be a little bit less profitable than they really should be, simply because people aren't interested in buying or selling that option.
So when you look at options, and I believe that everybody should trade options, because I think that, you know, when you understand them, they're the same as the stock. They create the underlying, and understanding the proper strategies to use them, you can create much more successful trades for yourself. Plus the fact that if you know what you're doing, you can also hedge a portfolio using options, because options allow you the ability to create synthetic positions in a market that can really limit the loss or the risk that you're taking. I mean, I could, in theory, create a synthetic position and get long Apple and have a risk of a couple of dollars. So whereas if I go out and buy Apple itself, I've got risk of $105. So, you know, the options are actually a much better way to trade anything. What do you think?
Oh, hell yeah, of course. But you're talking about really advanced stuff. And most of my students are not as advanced as your students. Most of my students are beginners in options trading, and they don't understand what a synthetic position is. They don't understand that options are actually less risky, because the general idea is that if you play options or futures, well, of course, futures are risky, but I mean, if you play options, you're diving into a more risky market. What people don't know is that a synthetic position can actually be opened at a profit. And in some cases, in most cases, synthetic positions are cheaper than actually buying the stock, but you get the same delta. And if people don't know what delta means, it's, you can think of it as how much profit you can gain per dollar increase or decrease in the stock, depending on whether you're long or short. So if you have a synthetic position on Apple, for example, every $1 increase in Apple will bring you $100 for that synthetic position. Now, if the synthetic position was opened at a gain, you already start out ahead. And then Apple moves up, now you're even more ahead. But for most people who buy Apple, you start out below because you've already spent money buying the stock. Now, the only, like,
hold that,
what you just
hold
said,
that thought. Hold that thought. We'll come back. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I am with Damon Verriel. He is a contributor to the Bubba Report. He's a friend of the program. He's a friend of mine. And we're going to come back and talk more about it because he has some nice programs that really help the individual new trader. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my friend, a contributor to the Bubba Report, a very good understander of the market, a friend of mine that lives in Japan, so he's in the middle of the night, but this is the Bubba Show. So, Damon, you were talking about the way the delta works, and just so people understand clearly, delta is the amount that the option should move up for the stock. If you created that synthetic position in the stock, it really means you're long the stock, so you own 100 delta, because all stocks are one delta. So we would create a position that would move dollar for dollar. But if you created that for a credit, which is what Damon is explaining, you then end up making money from the beginning, and you have virtually no risk on that trade, but certainly not the risk of owning the stock nor laying out the capital. Damon, go ahead and finish with your answer. Sorry to interrupt.
Right, and that's one of the keys. When you buy a stock, your delta is 1. When you make a synthetic position, your delta is 100. When you buy a stock option, depending on the option, your delta can be anywhere from, you know, like 1 to 100. So it depends on how much you want to risk on a certain trade. If you really are confident in a certain directional trade, then there's really no reason not to play options. And you just said yourself that synthetic options, synthetic positions based on options, are usually better than stocks. I have thought many, many times this exact same thought, and really the only reason I would ever buy stock would be for dividends, because there's no real reason to buy a stock when you're getting delta 1, when you can buy options for much cheaper, when you're getting at least, you know, 20 delta for, you know, a stock option that would cost maybe $20, an out of the money stock option. So if you are not a rich person and you're looking to make a lot of money on a directional trade, don't buy the stock outright. Buy the stock option. The delta is going to help you. The delta is going to tell you how much you can expect to make per $1 gain or loss on the stock itself. And then the gamma, which is actually more important if you're just going to be playing a basic options play, is going to tell you how quickly that delta increases. So let's say you buy a stock option on Apple and the delta is 20 and the gamma is something like 8. Well, what's going to happen is when Apple goes up $1, you're going to make $20, and maybe the option costs you $100. So you've already made 20% ROI. But now, after you've made 20% ROI, if Apple goes up another dollar, you're going to make more than $20 because that gamma is positive. It's going to tell you that delta is increasing on the way up. The only thing you really have to worry about when you play options is theta, which is essentially time decay. So the longer you hold on to the option, the higher risk you have of that option expiring out of the money, and therefore the option's value will decrease overall as long as the option is not increasing. Or sorry, the stock is not increasing. So if the underlying is increasing, you're safe. And what I tend to teach people is something called gap trading, where we look at a stock that has recently gapped. And if you're familiar with what Bubba teaches in his webinars, you will see that his charts are almost always candlestick charts. And in a candlestick chart, sometimes you have a gap, which is when you see a space between two consecutive days. That's a gap. And statistically, we know what's going to happen based on the gap plus the colors of the candlestick, and in many instances, the candlestick patterns after the gap. And if you can predict accurately what's going to happen after that gap, you can predict the direction of the stock at maximum, based on probability theory. You can predict them 91% of the time correctly, as per the direction of the stock. Now, when to close the stock is usually the main issue. When to close your position is the main issue, but if you can predict the direction and you can find the best option, and what I usually do to find the best option is I look at gamma per price of the option, you can make a lot of money just paying a few $100 per option on a really expensive stock like Apple or Tesla or something like that. Whereas investors are putting down thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars just to make a few thousand dollars on a swing trade. That's not what options traders do. We put down $100 and we come out with $300. We're not making a lot of money. Well, Bubba is, because he's playing with a lot more than I am. But for people like me who are not rich, we are putting down just a couple $100 and we're coming out with $300. That's 300% ROI. That's way more than you would get investing with a mutual fund or an ETF.
Oh, that's great. And so the gap program, give us a little more stuff on how the gap program works. I mean, because, you know, we know, I mean, I talk a lot on my webinars that, you know, gaps always fill eventually, but you've got a unique way of executing it. So talk to us a little about what you're doing.
Oh, you're 100% right. Well, 99% right. Gaps almost always fill. And that's the key. We usually will play what's called an area gap, which is a gap that fills. But in some instances, gaps don't fill quickly. Instead, they move in the direction away from the gap. So in my program, what I teach is how to recognize when the gap is going to fill and how to recognize when the gap is going to widen. And the key point of this is playing a swing trade based on those indicators. So in my program, I teach how to recognize a gap, I teach certain candlestick patterns, and I teach a few other indicators that allow you to make your trade a little more conservative up to that 91% that I talked about earlier. So let's say you see a gap in Apple one day, and you dig into the news, which I don't really recommend, and you find that, you know, Apple had good earnings or something like that. Usually what happens is investors and institutional investors overreact to an earnings announcement that was to an earnings report that beat the estimates. And what will happen is the price goes higher than it really should be, and it's a good time to short. Now, we usually don't want to short stock because that exposes us to unlimited risk. So instead, we buy a put option, and we do a swing trade, and we watch the candlesticks over the next few days. And in the gap trading program that I offer, I call it the gap game plan, we are watching it day by day. We're not watching it minute by minute. So it's not a day trading program. It's more of a, you know, watch the stock at the end of the market. Just take a, you know, 10-minute break after your job and see what happened to the market. and determine whether you want to close your position or open a position on the next day. Now, I also teach you how to find these gaps, because they're not really easily found unless you're digging through the news every day. But I do give some resources as to how to find really good gaps to play. And I also offer a online forum to where you can ask me questions as to, you know, is this a good gap to play? And where can I find some good gaps? And, you know, if you want to double check with me if this is an area gap versus a breakaway gap, the former being a gap that usually closes really quickly, the latter being a gap that usually widens for a while, you can just ask me on the forum and I'll give you an answer.
Right. So you're actually, when you're using your program, you're very actively helping the people that purchase that program. Is that correct?
Yeah. And you have access to my email. I also offer a coaching program that's it's optional. But if you want to, you can get into a coaching program with me, and I'll walk you through step-by-step this program. But most people generally opt just for the program themselves and try it out on themselves. And then later, if they find that they want more help or if they want to improve the trading strategy, a lot of them actually who opt for the coaching program after they engage in the gap game plan strategy are people who are used to trading stocks and aren't familiar with options. And if you're that kind of person, you can actually just, you know, go into Bubba's coaching program. But what I teach is how to trade gaps. So it works with stocks. It works with options. If you're confused, ask me on the forum. If you're confused, sign up for my coaching program. I'll give you phone coaching. If you're confused, give me an email. I don't mind answering, you know, a short email or two. So, I mean, I'll help you out. I want you to get to where I am. I'm not a trader like Bubba. I haven't been in the industry for 30-plus years. I've been in the industry for, like, 5 years. And the epiphany for me came when I realized that even though I was continually taking money out of my brokerage account, the brokerage account was not going down in value. It was like, it was just like a golden goose, because I was making trades pretty much every week, and most of them, not all of them, but most of them paid off. And they paid off to the extent to where I could just rely on that for living. Now, granted, at that time I was living in Taiwan, and that's probably like half the price of living in the U.S., but I mean, it was a nice realization that you can actually live on trading, and you don't have to have, you know, a 9-to-5 job.
And that's something that, you know, we look at, and of course, that does take some capital. You are a single guy, so you got things going on for you. But we're going to step out of here for a break and come back with more from Damon, because, you know, he's got good things to say, and he's a beginning trader. Okay, you know, 5 years in the business, but and this is where you really learn and understand that it can be done by anybody, because again, you know, I do trades just like Damon. I also do more sophisticated trades. I trade stuff, but it's really not that more sophisticated. It's really pretty easy if you just take the time to learn what the balance is, because the option model itself is strictly a mathematical based model. We are with Damon Variel. We're going to step out of here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
A man walks down the street. He says, why am I soft?
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my man Damon Variel, a contributor to The Bubba Report, a good friend of mine, a good friend of the program. So, Damon, you're gap trading, and, you know, you're relatively a new trader, 5 years in the business, and you've kind of, you know, learned and done, and you do a lot of writing. You've really grasped the market and how it works. Now, you know, your system, if you understand it and you can get bigger, you can start to trade bigger and make more money. But what brought you, how did you get interested in the option market, and how did you develop these different programs that you sell?
Well, I wouldn't even say it's my system, technically. I was very disappointed from maybe 2011, which is when I started trading, to about 2013. I was disappointed in the returns I got from buying stocks, because I was like many beginning, quote-unquote, investors, where you hear about a good company, you buy the stock, and you hope it pays off in the long run. And after a couple of years, I basically broke even. And I just wasn't happy with that. I looked into other ways. I looked into Forex, which I felt was a little too risky. And then I started reading statistical studies on how to predict markets, on what types of trades are actually more profitable in the long run. And I came across options. Now, with options, you're not really leveraged per se, but what you're doing is you're spending a really small amount of money to gain what is the equivalent of 100 shares of stock. Now, when I realized that, I looked into certain ways of predicting market trends. And like I said, it's not really my system. All I did was I did a bunch of research through academic reports, through financial papers, and I compiled a huge list of notes to where I finally was able to make all of this stuff into one system. So the system wasn't invented by me, but it was compiled by me. And I use probability theory. That's my background. I have a bachelor's degree in statistics and mathematics. And I also have a master's degree in psychology. So I put all that stuff together, and before I even traded real money, I paper traded. And I actually think trading real money is probably better than paper trading when you start out. But I tried it, and for 3 months, it turned out to be profitable. I found a 39% ROI on my first 3 months of paper trading using this options trading system. And then I started to get into real trading, and that's how I began trading options. So I haven't really changed much of my strategy today, except that I trade more frequently and that I have given myself up more to riskier trades than I would have in the past. And that's mainly because I trade more frequently. I'm not really worried about losing so much as I was at the beginning. A lot of beginning traders, they really tear themselves up over the first couple trades if they lose. But, you know, statistically overall, you're going to have maybe 20% of the traders using my system lose at the beginning. So, I mean, if you lose on your first couple trades and you give up, well, maybe trading is not right for you, because trading is more of a marathon than a sprint. You've got to know that in the end, if you're using a statistically sound system, you're going to come out on top.
So, again, your background is perfect for the business, and people don't need to have that background, but that really gave you the information and the insight to delve into overall markets. So you're talking to somebody who knows nothing. Tell me, as somebody who knows nothing, why I should be in options and why I should learn the gap trading method that you provide.
Well, I'm usually talking to people above me, which is strange. So people will usually say, why are you trading options and not stock? And I'll ask them the question, why aren't you trading options? What is the benefit of stock over options? And honestly, there really isn't any. But let's go with your question. You're very new to the industry. You don't know what to trade. And you just know that, you know, maybe penny stocks is what everybody's talking about, or Apple as a company is what everybody is talking about. I would say go against that. Don't concern yourself with what's popular, because what's popular is generally going to be wrong. For example, let's say if you got into Apple during this last month, Apple already dropped 15% over December, and I predicted that. I predicted that based on statistics, because I'm not basing my trades on feelings. I'm basing my trades on numbers. And these numbers come from my own back tests. They come from academic papers. They come from other people's reports that I look into. I mean, I can consider myself somewhat of an expert on backtesting because I can program the backtest myself. Just like I know, I believe the world is round. I haven't walked around the world. I believe the world is round because I believe the experts that have told me that the world is round. So when I read into these academic papers and I see that, you know, 99% of the gaps fill, I want to look into more of that. I want to look into how often do they fill? What types of gaps fill? What are the candlestick patterns that fill more quickly? And what I've done over the past 2 years is I've compiled a list of all that stuff so that I know what types of gaps are the best playable gaps and that I can relay that information to anybody who's new to stocks and say, look, let's say you don't even want to play options, you just want to play stocks. Here are the gaps you can play them on. Of course, I'm going to recommend options to anybody because, first of all, they're cheaper. Second of all, they're limited risk. Whatever money you put into the option, that's your risk. You're not going to be risking any more money than the price you pay for a call or a put option. And third, you're essentially leveraged by that delta that we just previously talked about. And if you want to be equal to all your friends who are playing stocks, you just open a synthetic position, which is what I said before, possibly open.
We lost connection with Damon, but again, he's telling you the right information and you create positions through the option model. Okay. And that's kind of what you're looking for. And that's, you know, what Damon teaches in his gap programs, which can be found at the Bubba Show, .org or BubbaTrading.com. You can see his programs, very reasonably priced. He offers also some one-on-one coaching, when you buy his programs. So he helps you monitor and walk through them. But again, they're available at thebubbashow.org. And I suggest you check them out. I think you'll find yourself in a great position going forward. And I think that, you know, here is some basic training from a young man that has a statistical background. So what he's telling you is that the statistics tell you that options are actually the correct way to go and where you can make the best benefit for yourself. And that's something that, you know, we believe in here, as you know, at the Bubba Show, is how to create the best statistical position for yourself to give yourself the best opportunity of success. But we certainly enjoyed having Damon on the program. It's sometimes, you know how it is in these long distance calls from Japan to the States. It did happen. But, you know, this is the Bubba Show. We had Damon Verriel on. Check him out. You can check him out at DamonVerriel.com. You can look him on online. You can check out his YouTube channel. He's got all that great stuff for you. And, of course, we've got, and based on what's going on in the markets the last couple of days, we've got the hedging program, which if you're not in, you're making a mistake. Because, again, if you were in the hedging program, you'd be champion insuring this market lower, so that you could indeed put yourself in that best position to find yourself to making a little bit more dough and being able to accumulate the endowment model that you can compound, which is what we teach here at the Bubba Show. We want to make sure that everybody is protected so that everybody has a great 2016. That'll do it for today. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, I appreciate you being here. I appreciate you listening. And if you ever miss a show and want to catch it on demand at libertytalk.fm, please do so. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Good night, everybody.
I got a feeling.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk Advance.